All right, so get this. You guys sent us some research, and well, it's about how culture like connects to economic growth. And honestly, we are about to uncover some seriously cool stuff here. Think creativity is like just art and music. Think again. It shapes entire economies.
It really does. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it, like how going to a concert or like even visiting a museum can actually influence like the way money moves around the world.
We are diving deep today into a paper called Main Connections Between Cultural and Creative Activities and the Socioeconomic Space. Sounds intense, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
But trust me, it's packed with fascinating insights.
I believe it.
Our mission: to reveal the hidden power of culture, how it shapes your world, and why understanding this connection matters more than ever.
It's like we're about to crack the code of how creativity influences everything around us, from the clothes we wear to the technology we use.
Let's start with a stat that blew my mind. Creative industries contribute a whopping 6.5% of the European Union's GDP. That's according to UNC TED data from 2010. To put that in perspective, imagine like a bustling city like London. 6.5% of its entire economy is driven by things like fashion, design, music, film.
It's like realizing that creativity isn't just a fun pastime. It's like a serious economic force. And that figure is just the tip of the iceberg. We're not just talking about the money made directly from creative industries, but also the ripple effects they have on other sectors.
Okay, so it's not just about the cool products and experiences that these industries create, but how they influence the way we think and behave in the economy as a whole.
Absolutely. The paper talks about a shift from a purely profit-driven mindset to one that values things like sustainability, cooperation, and social impact. These values are often nurtured in creative environments, and then they like spread out into society.
So it's like cultural osmosis. These values seep from creative hubs into the broader economic fabric. To places like Paris and fashion or Silicon Valley and tech, they've become global centers for specific creative industries and attract tons of talent, businesses, and investments.
And that brings us to the creative class, the people who are constantly seeking out new experiences and driving innovation with their demand for novelty.
So it's like their hunger for the next big thing pushes industries to evolve and come up with fresh ideas all the time. Like a never-ending game of creative leapfrog.
And it's not just about the products themselves, it's about the environment they create. This cultural density attracts talent and businesses because it fosters a vibrant atmosphere for growth.
It's like a self-perpetuating cycle. Creativity attracts more creativity, which fuels further growth. But this paper gets even deeper,
It
right? It
does.
talks about different ways culture interacts with the economy through these models developed by Potts and Cunningham.
They came up with four models: welfare, competitive, growth, and innovation. The welfare model looks at culture as a public good that makes our lives better, even if it's not always profitable. The competitive model sees it as just another industry in the market. The growth model recognizes creative industries as a driver of economic expansion, like agriculture or manufacturing were in the past. And finally, the innovation model positions culture as a core part of the innovation ecosystem, shaping the entire economic landscape.
Wow, those are some pretty different perspectives. But I'm curious about this spillover effect the paper mentions. It sounds like creative industries don't just exist in a vacuum. They generate benefits that spill over into other sectors.
Think of it like cross-pollination of ideas. This can happen through knowledge transfer, product development, and even simple networking. Imagine, for example, a fashion designer's use of color and texture inspiring a tech company's user interface design.
That's fascinating. So it's not just about what happens within creative industries, but how they spark innovation and change in other seemingly unrelated fields. I bet there are some real-world examples of this in the paper, right?
There are a bunch of case studies that show how creative industries have boosted innovation in various sectors. We're talking real, tangible evidence that these industries are catalysts for progress across the board.
Okay, so we've got the big picture of how culture impacts the economy.
Right.
But let's bring it back to you, the listener.
Right.
Beyond boosting GDP,
mm-hmm.
the paper explores how engaging with culture builds valuable skills
yeah.
you can use in your own life.
Right.
Think critical thinking, mm-hmm. empathy,
yeah.
creativity, all those things we need to navigate this crazy world.
It's about developing that cultural muscle, so to speak.
Yeah.
Exposure to art, music, literature, and other forms of cultural expression
right.
makes us more adaptable, insightful, and capable of dealing with change.
Hold on a second. This
yeah.
is getting really interesting.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying that simply engaging with culture can actually make us better thinkers
yeah.
and problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Think about it this way. Like, when you immerse yourself in art, music, or even literature, you're exposed to different perspectives and emotions and ideas.
Okay.
It's like a mental workout that strengthens your ability to think critically,
yeah.
understand complex issues,
mm-hmm.
and then come up with creative solutions.
Okay, so it's like training your brain to be more flexible and adaptable by like exposing it to different forms of creative expression.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the paper also mentioned how cultural and creative activities tend to cluster in certain locations.
Right.
Creating these like vibrant cultural districts.
Right. Think of places like Broadway in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Shoreditch in London or the Wynwood Arts District in Miami.
Oh, cool.
These are like creativity hotspots.
Yeah.
Where the energy is palpable.
Uh-huh.
And new ideas are constantly brewing.
So it's not just about like individual artists or businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the whole ecosystem they create when they come together.
Yeah.
In these specific locations.
Mm-hmm.
But the paper takes it a step further.
Okay.
Talking about spatial spillovers.
All right.
Oh, that sounds pretty technical.
Let's break it down.
Okay.
Imagine a cool coffee shop.
Yeah.
Opens up next to a design studio.
Right.
Suddenly the designers are getting their caffeine fix, right?
Yeah.
The coffee shop gets more business.
Why?
And they start brainstorming ideas together.
Okay.
That's a spatial spillover in action.
Yeah.
Benefits spreading beyond just the original businesses.
Ah, so it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
But with a geographic twist.
Right.
These creative clusters generate positive externalities
mm-hmm.
that benefit the entire surrounding area.
Exactly. And these spillovers can be super diverse.
Okay.
From knowledge sharing and product development to the creation of a vibrant social scene
yeah.
that attracts talent and investment.
So you're saying that just by being in close proximity to these creative hubs,
mm-hmm.
other businesses
yeah.
and even individuals
mm-hmm.
can benefit from the creative energy and innovation
yeah.
that's flowing around them.
Precisely. And the paper points to a 2007 report by Frontier Economics
okay.
that identifies three main types of spatial spillovers: knowledge, product, and network.
Okay, let's unpack those a bit.
All right.
What exactly are knowledge spillovers?
Okay.
I'm picturing brains glowing with shared knowledge.
Okay.
But I'm guessing it's a bit more nuanced than that.
Think of it as a free flow of ideas and insights. Let's say you have a tech startup located near a film school. The filmmakers might have expertise in storytelling and visual communication.
Right.
That could be incredibly valuable to the tech company
yeah.
in developing their marketing strategy
uh-huh.
or user interface.
So the tech company benefits from the film school's knowledge base
yeah.
without even directly collaborating with them.
Right.
What about product spillovers?
Imagine a fashion designer creating a new type of fabric
okay.
that's both stylish and durable.
Yeah.
That same fabric could then be used by a furniture designer
oh.
to create innovative and comfortable chairs.
Right.
That's a product spillover, an innovation in one industry sparking a new product in another.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Innovations jumping across industry lines like that.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, we have these network spillovers.
Right.
Which sound intriguing.
Network spillovers are all about the connections and relationships that form within these cultural hubs.
Yeah.
Think of it as the buzz that surrounds a thriving creative scene.
Right.
The chance encounters,
yeah.
the collaborations,
uh-huh.
the shared passion for pushing boundaries.
It's like the old saying, it's not what you know, but who you know.
Right.
And these connections can lead to new partnerships,
yeah.
opportunities, mm-hmm. and a cross-pollination of ideas
right.
that wouldn't happen otherwise.
Exactly. And it's not just about established businesses.
Uh-huh.
These network spillovers can also help aspiring artists, entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and innovators find mentors, collaborators, and investors.
Okay.
It's about creating an environment where creativity is contagious.
So we've established that these creative clusters are like idea factories,
mm-hmm.
churning out innovation and economic benefits.
Right.
But what drives that engine?
Yeah.
What keeps these creative hubs humming?
Mm.
The paper talks about this demand for novelty.
Okay.
What exactly does that mean?
Think back to the creative class we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
These individuals are constantly seeking out new and exciting experiences.
Okay.
They crave novelty, originality. Yeah. And things that challenge their perspectives.
Yeah.
This insatiable demand for the next big thing keeps creative industries on their toes.
Right.
Constantly striving to come up with fresh ideas
mm-hmm.
and push the boundaries of what's possible.
So it's like a constant feedback loop.
Yeah.
The demand for novelty fuels the supply of creative ideas,
uh-huh.
which in turn fuels economic growth and progress.
Right.
And all of this is happening in these concentrated areas
mm-hmm.
with high cultural density.
Right. It's not enough to have just a few scattered artists or creative businesses.
Yeah.
It's about creating a critical mass, a density of creative energy.
Okay.
That attracts talent, businesses, and investment.
Uh-huh.
The more creative activity you have in a particular area,
yeah.
the more it draws in like a gravitational pull.
This makes me think of places like Silicon Valley.
Right.
Where the concentration of tech talent and innovation is so dense, it's almost palpable.
Exactly. And it's not just about the number of people. It's
right.
about having a diverse range of skills.
Backgrounds and perspectives.
Yeah.
The paper highlights human capital density
okay.
as a key factor in driving innovation in these creative clusters.
So it's not just about having a lot of people.
Right.
It's about having a lot of skilled and creative people.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about this idea of social diversity that the paper also mentions.
Okay.
At first glance, it seems counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't a group of like-minded people be more likely to generate new ideas?
Actually, research suggests the opposite is true.
Really?
Diverse communities are more likely to generate new ideas and approaches
okay.
because they bring together people with different backgrounds, experiences, and ways of thinking.
Right.
This cross-pollination of ideas can lead to breakthroughs that wouldn't be possible
yeah.
in a more homogeneous environment.
So it's like mixing different colors of paint to
yeah.
create a whole new shade.
Yeah.
The more diverse the mix,
uh-huh.
the richer and more complex the result. Exactly. And this ties back to Richard Florida's work on the creative class.
Okay.
Which suggests that creative individuals are drawn to places that are open, tolerant, and diverse.
It makes sense. If you're a creative person,
mm-hmm.
you want to be surrounded by people who challenge your assumptions.
Right.
Inspire you to think differently.
Yeah.
And expose you to new perspectives.
Precisely. And this diversity isn't just about ethnicity or cultural background. Mm. It's about diversity of thought experience and expertise.
Okay.
It's about creating a melting pot of creativity
mm.
where the most unexpected and innovative ideas can emerge.
This conversation has definitely shifted my perspective on the role of culture in society.
Yeah.
It's not just about entertainment or aesthetics.
Right.
It's a fundamental driver of economic growth
mm-hmm.
and personal development.
Absolutely. And the paper goes beyond just looking at the economic impact of culture.
Okay.
It also explores how cultural engagement can help individuals develop valuable capabilities that can be applied in various aspects of life.
So it's not just about boosting GDP.
Right.
It's about personal growth and development as well.
Yeah.
And I remember the paper connecting this idea to Amartya Sen's concept of capability building.
Okay.
Can you remind us what that means exactly?
Capability building is all about expanding people's choices and opportunities
right.
by developing their skills, knowledge, and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's about empowering individuals to live a life they value and have reason to value.
Yeah.
And the paper argues that engaging with culture can play a vital role in this process.
Okay, so it's not just about acquiring knowledge.
Right.
It's about developing the capacity to use that knowledge effectively
yeah.
in different contexts
mm-hmm.
and make choices that align with our values and aspirations.
Exactly. And cultural engagement provides a unique and powerful way to cultivate those capabilities.
Okay.
Think about the critical thinking skills you develop when analyzing a complex piece of literature,
right?
Or the empathy you foster when connecting with the emotions conveyed through a piece of music.
Yeah.
So you're saying that engaging with culture is like a workout for our minds.
Yeah.
Strengthening those cognitive muscles that we need to thrive in the 21st century.
Precisely. And it's not just about our individual growth.
Right.
Capability building also has significant implications for society as a whole.
Okay.
When individuals are equipped with the skills and knowledge to make informed decisions,
mm-hmm.
they become more active and engaged citizens,
contributing
to a more vibrant and democratic society.
This has been an incredible journey so far.
It has.
We've explored the hidden power of culture,
uh-huh.
its impact on the economy,
mm-hmm.
and its potential to shape both individuals and society as a whole.
Right.
But there's one more aspect I want to touch on before we wrap up.
Okay.
The paper talks about culture as a key driver of a more sustainable and innovative future.
Yeah.
What do they mean by that?
Well, it's about recognizing that true progress goes beyond purely economic indicators.
Okay.
It's about creating a future that is not only prosperous, but also equitable, sustainable,
yeah.
and fulfilling for all.
Mm-hmm.
And the paper argues that culture plays a vital role in shaping this future.
So it's about moving beyond a narrow definition of progress,
right.
that focuses solely on GDP,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing the importance of cultural values,
yeah.
and creative expression,
yeah.
in building a better world.
Think about it this way. The challenges we face today,
yeah.
climate change,
right.
social inequality,
mm-hmm.
technological disruption,
yeah.
require creative solutions,
mm-hmm.
innovative thinking,
right.
and a shift in values towards sustainability and collaboration.
Yeah.
And where do these qualities thrive?
Yeah.
In vibrant cultural ecosystems where diversity is celebrated,
uh-huh.
experimentation is encouraged,
right.
and new ideas are constantly emerging.
This is really making me think about the role of cultural investment in shaping the future.
Yeah.
It's not just about supporting the arts for their own sake.
Right.
It's about investing in the very fabric of society,
mm-hmm.
the engine of innovation,
mm-hmm.
and the foundation for a more sustainable and equitable future.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that culture is not a luxury.
Yeah.
It's an essential ingredient for a thriving society,
mm-hmm.
and a future worth striving for.
This has been seriously eye-opening. This whole deep dive.
That has been a lot of information.
We've gone from GDP figures to like cultural osmosis,
right.
spatial spillovers, and even like brain workouts.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing how all these pieces kind of fit together.
It is.
We often think of culture and the economy as like totally separate things, but
yeah.
they're actually deeply intertwined, influencing each other in fascinating ways.
Yeah. It's like realizing that creativity isn't just something nice to have.
Uh-huh.
It's a fundamental driving force behind like progress and innovation.
Yeah.
Both for individuals and society as a whole.
And recognizing that connection is more important than ever, I think.
Yeah.
The challenges we face in the 21st century demand creative solutions, fresh thinking, and a willingness to embrace new perspectives.
So knowing all of this,
yeah.
what do you think, listener?
Yeah, what do you think out there?
What role should cultural investment play in building a better future?
That's the question, right?
Yeah, we've seen that it's not just about funding museums and theaters.
Mm.
It's about nurturing those creative ecosystems that generate innovation, economic growth,
mm-hmm.
and a more vibrant and equitable society.
It's about supporting art education in schools,
yeah,
fostering diverse cultural communities,
right.
and creating spaces where creativity can flourish
yeah.
and spill over into other areas of life.
It's about recognizing that investing in culture is investing in our collective future.
Totally.
Our capacity to solve problems.
Mm.
And our ability to create a world that is both prosperous and fulfilling.
It's about understanding that culture is not a luxury.
It's not.
It's the fuel that drives progress.
Yeah.
The foundation for a thriving society.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to unlocking a future filled with possibility.
Wow. What a thought to leave us with.
I know, right?
I don't know about you, listener.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling inspired to explore my own cities, cultural scene with fresh eyes.
Yeah, get out there.
Who knows what hidden gems and creative sparks are waiting to be discovered?
And remember, the research we discussed today is just the tip of the iceberg.
It is.
There's a whole world of fascinating insights out there waiting to be explored.
So keep those questions coming.
Yes, please.
And stay tuned for more deep dives.
More deep dives.
Where we'll continue to unravel the mysteries and explore the connections that shape our world.